Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
We're going to go to God's Word this morning. A premium price. Am I willing to pay it? A premium price. Am I willing to pay it? If you go shopping, as most of us do, but you're shopping for maybe a bigger ticket item, and the sales individual who comes up to you says, now that's the deluxe package. What do you immediately know when they say that's the deluxe package? What do you know? It's more expensive. It's going to cost you more. Or that's the premium model. It's going to cost you more, and you have to make a decision. Will you pay the price? Maybe you drive a vehicle that uses premium gasoline. I was noticing the price variance between the regular unleaded that I put into my vehicle and the premium price, and it can be 20, 30 cents a gallon difference. But if you're putting premium gasoline in your vehicle, you have probably chosen an automobile or a truck that has a high-performance engine, and you don't want to feed it the cheap stuff because it's going to knock and it's not going to be good for it. So you made a choice to pay the price for premium gasoline in that high-performance engine. You were willing to pay for it. Now, Sherry and I did some kitchen remodeling. I don't know how many years ago it was, been a couple of years. Actually, it's probably, I think, the second kitchen we've remodeled. And we went shopping for cabinets. And you can go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards and shop for cabinets, but then they can take you to a section. And it was like, wow, soft closing drawers and soft closing doors and premium wood and really decorative crown moldings, and all of a sudden the price goes up. And Sherry and I needed to decide, are we going to be willing to pay the premium price for that? We decided just to paint the old ones that we had. That was how we decided. We were not willing to pay the premium price. There was nothing wrong with our cabinets. We just disliked their color. And so we saved quite a bit. Now here's where I'm going this morning, and then we're going to skip a week, and then I'm going to finish this message up on the very first week of October. When it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to touching others, reaching others, when it comes to the world and the kingdom, do we choose to pay a higher price? Do we sacrifice? See, if you have the high-performance engine, you are going to sacrifice. You're going to put this credit card. Well, no, you're not going to put this one in. But you're going to put a credit card into the little machine. And you're going to sacrifice every time for that high-performance engine, choice you made. What about for the kingdom? What about for the kingdom? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are we loving our brothers and sisters? Are we loving the world? Are we loving our community in the manner that Jesus said we should? Now think about it. Jesus had a lot to say about how we are to love, how we are to serve, how we are to share, how we are to reach out. And any time that Jesus talked about what we are to do as his followers, there was a cost involved beyond what most of us would probably prefer to pay. Oh, we're happy that we're going to heaven, but, oh, you want us to do that. Listen. When you choose to love and to serve the way that Jesus says we are to do that, you will not be living for easy. Just think about this. You will not be living for easy. It's going to cost you more to live the way that Jesus asks us to live. But it will be the life that he calls you to. You will be disturbed for the things that disturb the heart of God. And ultimately, maybe not in this life, but later on, there will be rewards for it because Jesus always honors sacrifice. The question that we are going to ask ourselves, I've already prayed that the Holy Spirit He's already been talking to my heart. I've already prayed that the Holy Spirit would speak to us here about our willingness to pay the price of sacrifice for lives. There's a couple by the name of Dave and Delise Klassen. They don't live in our community. They actually live in Oklahoma City. But this is what happens when you sacrifice. Dave is an executive in the oil and gas business, and he does an hour commute every day down to downtown Oklahoma City and then back. And one day when he's gotten out of his car and he's walking to his office, for whatever reason, he sees a homeless man. And comfort would say, walk in your building, go up the elevator, go into your corner office, go serve yourself a really nice cup of coffee. But on this particular day, for whatever reason, Dave was compelled by the love of the Father. And the love of the Father said, give this man something to eat. And so on that morning, Dave did. He bought him a meal. Found out his name was John. Found out that he's homeless. And he really was hungry. That one meal became two meals. The two meals became an invitation to attend church with Dave and his family, which John, the homeless man, sleeping on the sidewalks of Oklahoma City, accepted. So now Dave and Delise and their family take a drive, actually a commute, from where they live in the suburbs to downtown Oklahoma City, and they pick John up and they bring him to church. And they do that every Sunday for 3 years. Now instead of 5 days a week, Dave is driving into the city 6 days a week. They do it for 3 years until the day that John, in a worship service, raises his hand and indicates that he is ready to open his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They continue to bring John when he desires to go public with his profession of faith. And Dave was able to be there and to be a part of John's baptism. And John's life has been changed, is being changed. John got a job. John still has a job. And you know what John is doing now? He goes back down to the sidewalks of Oklahoma City where he used to sleep and is now sharing the gospel with the men that he used to sleep next to on the sidewalks. He started a small group in downtown Oklahoma City. See, this is what sacrifice does. This is how the love of God works. But it costs Dave and his family something to be able to reach one person. It costs them 150 extra trips down to Oklahoma City, downtown Oklahoma City, to pick up a man to bring him to church. If John was typical, I'm sure he might have not been the cleanest. I would expect that an executive in the oil and gas business probably drove a very nice vehicle. It might have been a sacrifice to have this gentleman in their vehicle. It might have been a bit of an anxiety-producing sacrifice to have him in the vehicle with their children. But it was a sacrifice. It was a price they were willing to pay. It was a premium price to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is for you and I, are we willing to pay a premium price also for touching our community, sharing the gospel with those around us, growing in faith personally, and then helping our church spread the gospel locally and around the world? Because this is what Jesus requires each of his followers to do. Now, we've started a bit of an initiative here. We've entitled it Serve Columbus. It's something that I have encouraged us all to do. Find a place to serve our community because our community needs it. Here are three little lines that we put together about what we're about when we're serving Columbus. We need to not just go to church, we need to be the church. There is a difference between going to church and being the church. Anybody agree with that? Thank you. Hey, I don't usually ask for amens, but today feels really good, so thank you for that. Going to church is important, and you're going to hear it from me for your own personal spiritual life. But if all you do is go to church and you're not being the church somehow, then you are missing what Jesus has called us to do. We need to get out of our seats and into the streets. That doesn't mean knocking on doors necessarily witnessing. It means that we are in the community because we want to be, as we have there at the bottom, we need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus loving our community. And some of you have been doing that. You've helped out at a United Way event. You help out volunteering at Clarity or other places. Our block party is part of Surf Columbus. Instead of us taking our church picnic and just celebrating it ourselves, we are going to be on our church grounds, and we want to open it up to the neighborhood. I hope some of our neighbors come. Why? You want them to come to church? If they want to. We just want to love our neighbors. This is our neighborhood. These are our neighbors. One of our neighbors calls me if they see something. In fact, this happened recently. They called the police, and the police called me because there was something strange that had happened on our property. There was no damage, but they had noticed something. They were being a good neighbor. These are our neighbors. We live here. So we are opening up our block party next Sunday, and I hope that as you attend and you eat the pulled pork and the other things that we're going to have, that you're also very, very aware of who is here, and you welcome our neighbors. See, we want to touch our community. And Jesus does expect all of us to be sacrificing for others, both in the church, because we need to sacrifice one for another, and outside of the church. A British missionary by the name of C.T. Studd said this, and I've been really challenged by this quote. If Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. That's a powerful statement. If Jesus Christ died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. What sacrifices are you making for him? Think about it. What sacrifices? Our text this morning, and a portion of it's going to be on the screen, and I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but I want to encourage you, when you have a moment, to read Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus Christ lays out the cost of following him. It is a high cost, folks, and I wonder if we really have caught what it is that he wants us to do and what it's going to cost us. But as he's closing this portion in verses 38 and 39, and I'm going to draw your attention to some pretty strong words. And this is from the New Living Translation. Jesus says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, those who follow me are going to pick up their cross. The cross was a symbol of sacrifice. It was what criminals were executed on. Do you understand when Jesus said, you will pick up your cross and follow me, he is literally giving us a picture. You have chosen an instrument of death. Your life is over. You are dying to yourself to follow him. He says, if you refuse that, which means if you refuse to willingly follow him in sacrifice, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, he says, you're not worthy of being mine. I've been reading those words all week. I've been planning this message, actually, for about a month and a half, 2 months. It's been on my mind and my heart. And I read those words, and I ask myself as your pastor, am I really sacrificing? I was going to save this for the end, depending on time, but I think it's right for me to say it right now. Okay, I just need you all to, y'all look up here a second. I spend a lot of time here at the church. In fact, there are some kids that in my former church that thought this is where I lived. I lived at the church because that's where they only saw me. I spend a lot of time at the church. I spend a lot of time amongst believers. I spend a lot of time praying and studying God's word and getting ready to minister. But I'm also compensated to do that. And this church has been very generous. I have a generous compensation package to do that. And I had to ask myself, am I really sacrificing for the kingdom? Or am I just doing my job? And I've been challenged by my message. You guys think that I step on your toes? Folks, the Holy Spirit steps on my toes every single time that I'm reviewing this stuff. And I had to ask myself, I'm going to be asking you, are you sacrificing? And the Holy Spirit says, Rick, are you? And I could give instances. I mean, I do some things that are outside of my job description. I have some places. But as I thought about it, I have to be very careful that which I am compensated for, certainly I work very hard at it, is truly not the sacrifice that Jesus says. Because if I was working as I have in secular job before, and I worked 50 hours a week at the television station I used to be production manager for, then I went and I volunteered at my church anywhere from 5 to 10, sometimes 15 hours a week, depending on what the needs were. Now there is sacrifice. But I get compensated for the 40, 48, 50, just depending, hours a week that I'm here. So I've been challenged by this too. So if you feel maybe somebody is stomping on your toe a little bit, know that the Holy Spirit has also stomped on mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. That means dying to yourself and putting kingdom first. And if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. You will find it. Key thought this morning. Might be in your bulletins. I don't remember what both of these are. I've been really chewing on this one. I wrote this and I rewrote it and I've been chewing on it. Serving others in the manner Jesus teaches requires more than pocket change and spare time. It requires sacrifice. If Jesus gets your leftover money, if he gets the spare time because, okay, well, I've got a half hour that I could spend doing this and nothing else is interrupting and nobody wants to play golf with me, or fishing isn't too hot this weekend, or there's snow on the ground, and that's when you give. That's pocket change and spare time. That's not serving in the manner Jesus has called his people to serve. Second key thought is this: the kingdom of God never advances on pocket change and spare time. It only advances on sacrifice. The kingdom of God never advances on pocket change and spare time. It only advances on sacrifice. And Jesus has called us to advance the kingdom of God. So there's four ways in which I'm going to illustrate how we can know if we're sacrificing. And we're going to go through two of them this week and then two of them in 2 weeks. Four ways that we can learn to sacrifice, or that we can tell that we're sacrificing. And the first is we are serving outside of our comfort zone. You're serving outside of your comfort zone. That takes a sacrifice. You're serving outside of your comfort zone. And your comfort zone may be different. You may be an introvert, and so for you to actually share your faith, that's a sacrifice. But Jesus didn't say only extroverts should share their faith. He will help you to share your faith if you're an introvert. But serving others outside of your comfort zone. I've asked a friend of mine, a friend of the church, to come and to share a story this morning. His name's Danny. He went on the missions team. Danny, if you would come up to Peru. But a couple of months ago, Danny and I had breakfast together. I just wanted to get to know him a little bit better. And Danny shared with me a story that I thought, oh, wow, that is a really good story. I'm going to use that someday. Today's the day, Danny. It is. So would you share with us something that took place when you made a trip out to California?
Yeah, sure. Good morning. I'm Danny, by the way. I'm going to set my timer because I can get long-winded. Back in February, I was able to go out to San Francisco for a few days, a week. And I was spending time with a church out there. It's a network of house churches called We Are Church. Just learning from them and spending time with the pastors and the congregation, just seeing how they do ministry. And so part of our time out there was we were intentionally going to a certain section of San Francisco called the Tenderloin to do some street evangelism and praying with the homeless community down there. And so the Tenderloin, and if you've been to San Francisco, is one of the worst areas that you could go to. So as we are heading down there, they send us out in pairs to go and walk the streets and just meet people and pray with them and talk to them, evangelize, all that stuff. So in the prep to this, like, all right, when you go there, you know, a couple things to be aware of. One, watch your step because there's human feces everywhere. Okay, I'm going to watch my step. Two, you know, pray with your eyes open because there's people that can come up behind you or whatever. And also, you know, never linger in one spot for too long. I'm like, okay, cool. Glad I signed up for this. Last thing. Before you get out of the car, make sure that you pray. You did not have to tell me to do that. I was going to do that. Me and my partner, he's from Kansas. I mean, I don't know who is more outside their comfort zone. We get to our spot and we pray. My hands are sweating. Like, I'm just sweating. This is crazy. But it was really cool. We spent about an hour and a half walking around the streets of San Francisco, meeting homeless people and praying with them and witnessing all that stuff. But one particular experience, there's definitely some that stand out, but one particular is right as we were leaving, about to leave, get back in our car and go back. We stopped and we met this man. I forget his name, but we were talking to him and we were, you know, just getting to know him a little bit and prayed with him as we leave. And then as we were leaving, he stuck his hand out for a fist bump. And I told a story in Peru and I had no idea how to explain fist bump in Spanish. But anyways, so he stuck his hand out for a fist bump, if you know that, and it's just like a way of saying, all right, cool, see you later. And so I was like, all right, ooh, whoa. And as I went in for the fist bump, I'm also an EMT, I noticed that he had a bunch of like open wounds and open, you know, cuts on his knuckles there with blood, and I was not wearing gloves. And so I retracted my hand. I was like, no. But then his hand was still there. I'm like, oh, no. Shoot. That was a bad move. So I decided, all right, well, what if I do like a half little fist bump on the side? And so I went in for the half, like, kind of fist bump. I'm like, okay, maybe that will cut it. No. His hand was still there. I'm like, well, maybe if I try the other side. And so I went and tried to do a half fist bump on the other side. Just like, let me go. Nope, didn't cut it either. The hand was still there. Like, Lord, save me. All right. Well, I guess this is God saying to me, you know, we're called to love those that we don't want to. We're called to love those that are dirty or broken or nasty or sick. Those that we would rather not. And I would really rather not come in contact with that blood on this man's hand who's been living on the streets. I have no idea where it's been. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus reached out to those people. He touched the lepers. He, you know, bound up the wounded and the sick. And so for me, that was my moment of like, all right, Lord, I'm trusting in you. And Full commit, full send, as the youth say, full send. I guess I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Give it up for Danny. When I heard Danny's story, especially, you know, he didn't want to do the fist bump, but then I forgot, and he said he was an EMT. And those of you in the medical profession, you know, coming in contact with bodily fluids, coming in contact with blood, for Danny to show the love of God, he told me he had a nice conversation with the man. He had talked to him about the love of Jesus. He was someone that listened to his conversation. And it took one more small gesture to just say, hey, I love you and Jesus loves you. And it took him outside of his comfort zone. See, when you're serving outside of your comfort zone, you know you're sacrificing. See, when Dave and Delise went down an extra day to Oklahoma City, haul a homeless man to church and back for 3 years, that's going outside of your comfort zone. That's sacrifice. So here's the question on point one for you coming up on the screen. What am I doing that puts me outside of my comfort zone? Is there anything that you're doing for the kingdom of God? Anything that you're doing for Jesus? Anything that you're doing to love this community? Anything that you're doing to love those around you? What are you doing that puts me outside of my comfort zone? In those places, you know you're sacrificing. Who are the people you don't normally hang with? Where is the time that you're giving that you don't normally like to give or want to give? What is the task that you are doing that you don't care to do, but you do it regularly because there's a need? Where is the money that you're spending or giving that is more than you would prefer to spend or give? That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Because you're going outside of your comfort zone. If you're comfortable with everything that you're doing and your life is on an even keel, then I want to ask you, have you picked up your cross to follow Jesus? Because sacrifice, first of all, means that we go outside of our comfort zone. And this happened all through the scripture. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but Peter, being a Jewish man and he was a leader in the church, had a very unique opportunity where the Holy Spirit showed him that he needed to go outside of his comfort zone. He got an invitation to go into a Gentile's home, something that Jews do not do. The Holy Spirit said it's okay, and there's a whole story that goes along with this. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 10. But even when Peter went to the Gentile's home, listen to what Peter said. Gentiles were like some people that you don't hang with. They had all kinds of racial type issues in this era. But Peter told them, he's now in the Gentile home. He had gone. His name is Cornelius. And Peter's told them this, that, you know, it's against our law for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. It's against our law to do this. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. I'm not going to think of you as unclean anymore. So I came without objection. You know what the results of it was? The first Gentiles got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received Jesus, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues, and the gospel went to Gentiles because somebody went outside of their comfort zone. Number two, a way that you can know if you're sacrificing is this. You're serving someone who cannot reciprocate. You're serving someone who can't reciprocate. Where are you serving that they can't pay you back? Blair Cuthie actually does something like this, and I was just excited to hear about what Blair is doing, and so I've asked her to share a little bit. She's involved with something here in our community called Sidekicks, and I want Blair to talk about some of her motivation and what she's doing, and it's all yours.
Thanks. So Sidekicks, if you haven't heard, it's an organization that started about 3 years ago. It's part of the Lincoln Central Family Neighborhood Center, which is where our church is located. But it started with a teenager named Randall Watts, who is a boy with autism at North High School. So if any of you went to North or have kids who went to North, you might recognize Randall. He is an athlete. He is a very, very fast runner. And his parents can't keep up with him. His siblings can't keep up with him. And he's not able to go out and run like any of us could and run by himself safely. So they started this organization where special needs students, teenagers, middle school, young adults, the heroes of our community, are paired with Sidekicks. And we meet every Monday night, and we go out for either runs, walks, or run walks, something in between. And it's just a chance for the marginalized, special needs teenagers in our community to be able to be in community, get out, exercise. And it's also a break for the parents, too. A lot of times they will do a walk around the block themselves. So depending on the hero's capabilities, we could run up to 3 miles pretty quick, or walk a half mile around Washington. It all depends on the person. But everyone is welcome. It's every Monday at 6:30. We start at the White River Running Store downtown on 5th and Washington. And it happens rain, shine, winter. Like, we'll go in the dark with headlights. It's always available. All you have to do is show up. You don't have to sign up. So that's an option, too. And they always post on the Facebook page of the White River Running store if it's ever canceled for weather. But I hope you guys can come out sometime and walk or run with us.
Now, why did you do this?
Oh, I'm a runner. So this is something for me. I love to go out and just the freedom of the open roads, and it just breaks my heart that some people can never experience that. So it's not outside my comfort zone there.
It is not, but at the same time, it is a sacrifice because you have now committed your Mondays. There's probably other things that you'd like to do on Mondays. I think America's Got Talent is on Mondays, right? Like, I see you really... reciprocation. A thank you. But they're not going to say, hey, I'm going to take you out to lunch or whatever. And I appreciate so much that you're willing to take some people and administer to them. So let's give it up for Blair. And according to Blair, there are more people that could use a sidekick. There are more people that could use someone to walk or to run with them. But guess what? If you're going to do it, something else is going to have to be taken off of your schedule. Something for you is going to have to be taken off your schedule, whether that's America. I don't know if America's Got Talent on Mondays or not. I know that Dancing with the Stars is because my mother reminds me of it. Not something that I watch, but maybe that's on your schedule. There are DVRs. Serving someone who can't reciprocate. Here's the question. Just bring up 2A, please. Who am I serving that can't reciprocate? Where are you serving outside of your comfort zone? Who are you serving that can't reciprocate? That means it's sacrifice. There's a verse in Luke, you can bring the Luke verse up now, that says this. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, Jesus said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back. And that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. That at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Now, it doesn't have to be a meal. It could be being a sidekick. It could be walking in a nursing home and ministering. Let me tell you just briefly about Aunt Sandra. Aunt Sandra is from Sherry's side of the family, but I've been married to her for so long, she feels like she's my side of the family. When her parents got to the point that could no longer be cared for by family, they went to the nursing home. And Aunt Sandra was one who went and saw her parents very regularly. And she would give pedicures or she would trim nails for her family members that were there. But then she found that there were others there at the nursing home who needed a little bit of attention, needed somebody to trim their nails, needed somebody to give them not a professional pedicure, but a pedicure. Sandra's parents passed away. They've gone to be with Jesus. Wonderful followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sandra still goes to the nursing homes every week to be there for those others who maybe don't have anybody to visit, to be there to trim some nails, toenails particularly, to be there to minister. Those individuals can't reciprocate. Oh, I'm sure that the smile on their face when she walks in, or her touch on them as she talks to them, prays for them, or trims nails. But she is out sharing the love of Jesus. And she has it scheduled. As far as I know, she rarely misses. Even with some of her own physical limitations, she's had some shoulder issues. She is still there. Who am I serving that can't reciprocate? Another question to ask yourself. traveling, hopefully, an author by the name of Stan Mooningham writes these words. I will go when, I will give after, I will obey, but first. I will go when I get caught up in all my housework. I will give after, well, I've remodeled the house. I will obey, but first, I need to. One can always find reasons for delay, and sometimes they may even seem to be valid reasons. This is our challenge. As those whom the Savior has saved, as those whom the Savior has called to pick up their cross and to follow him, here's the question. Here's the question. Where are you outside of your comfort zone? Where are you serving where people cannot reciprocate? Or where are you saying, well, I'll do that when, or I'll give after, or I'll obey but first? In fact, Jesus challenged some individuals. One individual came up and said to him, you know, Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go home and bury my father. Now, the father hadn't just died. What that meant was, I'll follow you after I take care of the family stuff and get the finances worked out and get my inheritance, is what he's saying. And Jesus said, no, let the dead bury their own dead. Someone else came to Jesus and said, well, Jesus, I'll follow you, but I need to go home and take care of some business matters. And Jesus said, no. You follow me first. That's the life of sacrifice. That's the life of kingdom. And that's the life that, unfortunately, I'm afraid, many of us here in the United States and possibly other places around the world do not do willingly. And I'll say, I've been challenged by this myself, because for me, well, I spend all my time around this stuff. Yes, I'm compensated for. So where do I sacrifice? Where do I go outside of my comfort zone? Where am I serving or someone that can't be reciprocated? And I will tell you, I've started doing it. Before I came up to preach this message, actually I started a few months ago, I am doing the things that I am asking you to do. Key thought again. Serving others in the manner Jesus teaches requires more than pocket change or spare time. It requires sacrifice. And the kingdom of God never advances on pocket change and spare time. It only advances on sacrifice. I'm going to tell you a prayer that I am going to pray. I'm going to pray over us at the close of this service. I'm going to ask you to pray it. So I'm going to ask you to whisper it or to pray it in your mind. But I'm going to tell you what it is first, because I believe it's a prayer that the Holy Spirit desires to answer. And if you pray it and mean it, I believe he will answer it. Here's the prayer. Holy Spirit, here I am. I am willing to do whatever you want. I will sacrifice for others. I will sacrifice for you. Show me where you want me to sacrifice. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in the prayer. As the team comes back, they're going to also lead us in a closing song. The kingdom of God never advances on pocket change and spare time. It only advances on sacrifice. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, says this, "For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap." Now, in the context, it's talking about sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit, but it goes on and says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. It is easy to grow tired sacrificing. But the Bible says there's a blessing that you will reap. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. If you sow sacrifice, people of God, if you sow sacrifice, You will reap the rewards of sacrifice, and the kingdom of God will be advanced. If you sow sacrifice, you will reap the rewards of sacrifice, and the kingdom of God will be advanced. The life that Jesus calls us to live is a life that he says is dying to yourself, picking up your cross to follow him. We live in a culture, I am as impacted by it as you are. We live in a culture that says, me first, me first, me first, my needs, my videos, my this, my that, my whatever. That's what it says. And we have all sucked into the, I have everything that I would ever want to watch from an entertainment standpoint available just like that, whether it's Star Trek or Star Wars or something else. It's there. And it's easy for me to take care of me. But am I willing to pay the premium price that Jesus calls us to? Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose your family and you're going to be having to go to the inner city, although it was a call that God had, or to Peru. Sometimes God will call you to things like that. Sometimes it's going to be as simple as sacrificing your Monday night to walk or run with a physically challenged or mentally challenged young person in this town to brighten their day and to show the love of Jesus. It may be driving someone to church. It takes extra time to drive someone to church who doesn't have a ride. You got to organize your day around it or your Sunday around it. I don't know what the Holy Spirit may talk to you about. But if you're going to pray this prayer, I believe he's going to talk to you. Would you stand? And now I'm going to ask if you'd be willing to pray. I'm not asking you to pray out loud. I'm asking you to pray it as in a whisper. If you'd like to pray it on your lips or to pray it in your minds. And if you don't desire to pray it, because something happens when you pray that doesn't happen when you don't, God is going to hear and answer this prayer. I'm convinced of it. So if you don't want to sacrifice, don't pray this. Please do not pray it. Or maybe you want to pray, Lord, make me willing to sacrifice, because I hate to sacrifice. That'd be okay too. But here's the prayer. I will say a line, and then you can just repeat it to yourself or in your mind. Holy Spirit, here I am. I am willing to do whatever you want. I will sacrifice for others. I will sacrifice for you. Show me where you want me to sacrifice. That last line is the key. Show me where you want me. Because each of us is going to be different. But as we're all doing what God wants, the kingdom of God is advanced. People are touched. And more than likely, you won't even be noticed doing it. And that's okay. Lord, many here, I believe, have prayed this prayer. And Lord, they're going to open their hearts to hear from you. And for some, it's going to be as simple as talking to somebody at work and saying, you know, Jesus has put me on your heart. He loves you. For others, it will require giving up an evening, once a month, once every other week, even once a week, to be a part of Brighter Days, the homeless shelter in town, or Love Chapel, or Clarity, or giving of their time to volunteer in one of the schools, helping children learn to read better. Maybe volunteering at the Foundation for Youth, the local hospital, or maybe being like Aunt Sandra and going into a nursing home just to say hi to someone who hasn't had a visit. Lord, I don't know what you're going to call each of us to, but we are here. thank you. You're not angry with us, Lord, but you just want to reaffirm in our hearts how important this is, because this is how the love of Jesus is shown. This is how you touch lives. Dave and Delise touched John because they were willing to sacrifice. Danny touched someone in a very poor, violent, rundown section of San Francisco with your love because he was willing to fist bump. Blair touches individuals on a weekly basis. She may not be sharing the gospel with them, but she cannot go any place, because I know Blair. Blair cannot go any place without the love of Jesus just pouring off of her. As she smiles, as she encourages. Lord, for others here who are involving themselves in our community, we thank you. But Lord, all of us need to evaluate, are we really sacrificing, and if so, how much? So once again, we commit ourselves to you. Every breath that we take, every moment that we're awake, Lord, we want you to have your way in us. We live for you alone. And that means that sometimes we're going to lay down our own stuff to do something for you or for others to advance the kingdom.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.